Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct, second hour, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789 for call and text. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Go right back to the front lines of history in the making. With our lines, there have been some glitches with them. Keep trying to call in, and we are working on it. You know, when I took a look at the video deposition of Crooked William Barr to the January 6th Commission in the two episodes that have aired, I initially thought, and I think you probably initially thought too, that Barr had told Trump that his stories about fraud in the election were, quote, BS, were, quote, crazy, and that Trump was told by Barr that somehow this was totally baseless, and Barr said that he thought Trump was detached from reality. That's what he said. Remember, that's what he said. And my assumption was that that's what he said, because he was under oath in those depositions. In those depositions. But then I dug into it a little deeper, and the Washington Post dug into it even deeper. And let me tell you what Crooked William Barr really was up to. In June of 2020, the election year, he told Fox Business that mail-in ballots opened the floodgates for potential fraud. But he himself voted mail-in in 2012 and 2019. In June of 2020, he also told NPR that election day, vote by mail, that fraud can't be secured. Vote by mail for elections can give rise to fraud. Quote, there's so many occasions for fraud. It can't be ruled out. It can't be policed. He also told NPR in June of 2020, foreign countries could counterfeit ballots. Remember, he denounced in the January 6th deposition that he gave the idea that Germany, Italy, and Venezuela had fabricated ballots. Remember that? But that's what he told NPR in June of 2020. And here he says, oh, I told Trump that was crazy. But he told NPR the same thing himself. NPR said to him, any evidence? And you know what Barr said? He said, no, but it's obvious. In September of 2020, to CNN, he said that states adopting vote by mail are, quote, reckless and dangerous, and, quote, people are playing with fire. This is Crooked William Barr. To CNN in September of 2020, he said elections held by mail have found substantiated fraud and coercion. And then he said to them, quote, for example, we indicted someone in Texas. 1,700 ballots were collected from people who could not vote. And the guy that collected them made them out and voted all of them for the person he wanted to. Okay? End quote. It turned out that was a lie. They hadn't indicted anyone. There weren't 1,700 ballots or even one ballot in Texas that somebody collected and voted for himself. That was a flat-out lie. When CNN called his office and said, we checked that out, that's not true, he wouldn't answer. His spokeswoman blamed it on, I quote, an errant internal memo, end quote, without giving a copy of the memo. I don't think the memo exists. If it does exist, what kind of office has a memo with a lie in it? In September of 2020, Crooked William Barr told the Chicago Tribune that mail-in voting meant, quote, we're back in the business of selling and buying votes, end quote. And then he said, quote, fraudsters will pay the mailman to steal the ballots, end quote. Chicago Tribune, September of 2020. In September of 2020, he also told the Chicago Tribune, someone will say the president just won Nevada. Oh, wait a minute. By president, he meant Trump. Oh, wait a minute. We've just discovered 100,000 ballots. Every vote will be counted. Yeah, but we don't know where those freaking votes came from. Remember, end quote. Remember when he denounced the Red Mirage? He said, you know, look, the fact is that same-day voting nowadays usually is Republican, but early voting by mail, it skews Democratic. So the fact that the first votes look like the Republican Trump won don't mean anything, because once the mail-in ballots are counted, that's what counts. You look at the whole picture. He spread that lie in September of 2020 to the Chicago Tribune. He said, the president won Nevada. Oh, wait a minute. We've just discovered 100,000 ballots. We didn't just discover anything. These were mail-in ballots that had been there the whole time. The whole time. And they were counted. Trump said, on election night, we should stop counting any more ballots. So did Crooked William Barr. After the election that Trump lost in November of 2020, Crooked William Barr had the Justice Department preemptively launch a fraud investigation looking for fraud in the elections around the, these are the U.S. attorneys in the various cities looking for fraud, especially in the six states where it mattered, not in California, New York, not in Alabama, Mississippi, but in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona. That's not what is done ethically by prosecutors. If there are complaints about fraud, they investigate them. Crooked William Barr used the Justice Department, weaponized it, to continue the attack on the election afterwards. Then when he was trapped and subpoenaed, he saw what happened to Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon refused to comply and has been referred for criminal prosecution. He's being prosecuted. He could get 2 years in jail. Crooked William Barr, the toad, always protected his own worthless hide, and he was not going to take that. So he testified, and I have never seen a more skillful liar. When you saw Crooked William Barr testifying to the January 6th commission in the deposition, he said, yeah, I told them it was crazy. I told them this was false. He's detached from reality. This business about Germany, this business about Italy and Venezuela, forging ballots, ridiculous. There's a red mirage. Yeah, initially the votes look good for Republicans. You got to look for the whole thing. You got to look for the whole thing. Everything he said there was a lie because he said it himself before. He's the one who set it up. He is the one who set it up. He's the one in June of 2020 who told NPR that foreign countries could counterfeit ballots. And they asked him any evidence, and he said, no, it's obvious. And then he denounced that and tried to pin it on Trump. He did it. He's the one who planted it in the media, in NPR. Now, the January 6th commission is obviously taking his late night, save my own worthless hide, save my own butt statements to build a case against Trump. And that is as it should be. But you have got to understand that these Republicans, virtually all of them, and I look to the sterling examples of what I remember the Republican Party and principled, even though I didn't agree with many of their positions, conservative party with Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. The rest of these people Well, simply flat out lie. And he did. So don't get sucked in by him. We're going to the line. See if we can hook this up. Dick of Madison, my friend. What's on your mind? Thanks for calling, Dick of Madison.
Well, we're learning, Matt, if nothing else from this January 6th committee, in my opinion, we're learning we're, what, two stooges and a yes man away from a total collapse of this government. And I guess what I'm saying is if Garland doesn't do something like this, here's what I'm seeing. And I don't want to hear this nonsense about, oh, there isn't a precedence for this, you know, going after a former president. There also isn't a precedence for a former president trying to overthrow the government and stay in power. And, you know, all of this stuff might be amusing if it wasn't true. Now we're finding out that environmental attorney from DOJ said he'd take the ball and run with it for him. You know, at
right,
what
Jeffrey
point do
Clark,
we do something?
Jeffrey Clark, that's right.
Yeah. And they told, and luckily they told him, you know, go away, we'll call you when there's an oil spill. Now, all that's funny, except that it's not really funny.
Right. Well, you know, no, you're right. You hit the nail on the head. And I'll tell you what else, Dick. This whole January 6th commission presentation is putting on Republicans who look on the surface as if they were telling Trump all along that this was a lie. They themselves are lying, by and large. Certainly Crooked William Barr is lying. And in the next segment, I'll show you Bill Stepien. He's the campaign manager. The two of them look like altar boys. They're sitting there sorrowful, sorrowful Crooked William Barr and Stepien going, oh, woe is me. You know, we told him all along, there's nothing to this. And baloney. They were the ones who promulgated it. They both, and we will get to Stepien after the break, they both spread it up to the time it meant their worthless hides would go to jail, and then they jump ship like rats. Rats will desert a sinking ship. They will desert a sinking ship. They are rats. They are rats. We're going to a break. We've gotten the lines back up. The lines have now lighted up. If you're on the line, do not hang up. I will get back to you right after the break. There's a lot more right after the break featuring Bill Stepien. And if you think that what Crooked William Barr did was outrageous, wait till you hear about Bill Stepien. Hang on the lines. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are now open, 844-967-2789. Back in business. Next up is Robert of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Robert of West Allis?
Good morning. You're making some good points on people changing their tune. I just wanted to point out, and I'm sure it's been talked about before, is that the early voting, the absentee votes, you know, there's no reason these states can't count these votes early. You know, look at how long we saw Pennsylvania drag out some of these other states. I mean, the reality is all this stuff could be accounted ahead of time. And on election night by, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, we'd pretty much know who the winner was of these various races. The reality is Republicans don't want that. They've gone out of their way in many states to make that not to be the situation so that they can cast out rather than just get on with it and see what the result is. So, you know, when people hear them talk about, oh, all this flood of votes came in, it's like, no, you guys have set this up intentionally to create chaos and cast doubt. So I just wanted to make that point. They don't hear it very often. You know, it really doesn't have to be this way. States like Florida and other states, they actually count all that stuff ahead of time. And then by 9, 10 o'clock, they kind of know what the outcome is.
That is excellent point. North Carolina does too. And as you say, there's a proposal in the legislature to permit counting in advance. And that was shut down by the Republicans because they know that there are going to be more Democratic votes from mail-in. And they want to be able to say, and backing up Trump, that these are illegitimate. And it's disgusting. Here's the deal. Here's the reason, everybody, why there was some basis for not counting them right away. And that is you don't want to leak results. Let's suppose that it's the same reason that people don't try to call a presidential race before California's votes come in, because California is three time zones behind the East Coast. And if you suddenly show that, project somebody the winner and the polls are still open 2 hours in California, that deters voting. And something similar is going on here. In other words, the only good faith basis for it, which is solvable, is to say, well, we don't want to say that, you know, Biden's leading Trump 60-40 on the early vote. A lot of people won't vote election day. I get that. But the way to do it, because Robert is exactly right, the alternative is you wait till day of and you don't count them till the next day and everybody thinks that there was a dump of some sort. Well, there wasn't a dump of any sort. The answer is you can have your cake and eat it too. You do it in advance. You count it in advance, but you don't issue the results. And you make sure that they are kept secret, private. And then that way you get all the votes at the same time. Very, very good point. And the Republicans are doing it on purpose. They're absolutely doing it on purpose. Now, I mentioned Bill Stepien. Bill Stepien claimed that his wife was in labor and that's why he couldn't testify. I hadn't heard she had a baby. You know, it's not uncommon for people to plead a personal excuse. They don't have to put in an affidavit. He didn't want to testify, but he gave a deposition. What the deposition was, he said, oh, I thought this was terrible. I kept telling Trump, this is crazy, that these are lies and so on. He's the one who spread the lies. He has gotten $10,000 a month from Trump, including now, for his upcoming presidential campaign. 1 month he got $90,000. He's also representing Trump's PAC. He's gotten $1.2 million from Trump's PAC spreading these lies. Still, he said he stepped away from Trump. Under oath, he said that. And he said that he has a reputation of being honest and normal. Do not believe him. He's not honest and normal. He got $20,000 in February and $20,000 in March from Trump spreading this stuff. Still, 2021, a year later. He's getting between $30,000 and $10,000 a month for the campaign. And as I say, $1.2 million from pro-Trump sources. He also is representing about 15 other candidates Trump is supporting who are all spreading the lie, including the woman, Harriet Hagedorn, in Wyoming against Liz Cheney. He is being paid to spread the lie still. He is spreading the lie still. He's the one who spread the lie for Trump. He said his wife was in labor. That was the last we ever heard of her. Haven't seen that there was a baby. So he didn't show up. And everybody looked at it and said, he's a stand-up guy. He stood up to Trump. He architected the lie, and he's being paid for it right now. Does that occur to you? As you look at these things, the only Republicans you should pay any attention to are Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. The rest of them are saving their worthless skins. And some, like Stepien, are being paid to, you know, the guy somehow can keep a straight face. He cashes checks the day that he said he broke away and it was a lie. He's cashing checks for spreading the lie. We're going to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bill?
Actually, I got a couple of points. I'll try to make it quick. On the big lie that you're talking about, all those guys, all that crime family, they're paid to lie. They're paid quite a bit of money just to lie to us, the public. That's how they get their message about, paid to lie. One that's going on right now, oh, this gas price is Biden's fault. You know, if you really research it, oil companies aren't even producing at 50%. They've got the ability to get the price down. I'm surprised Biden doesn't leverage them with a couple of things. He could pull their subsidies, which are huge. He could pull their mineral rights on federal laws. He could actually leverage them to bring the price down. The reason the price is so high, they're the only game in town. They're the only game in town. You got to pay the price or stay home. That's the only two choices you've got. On the borders, I want to touch on the borders. I hear this, border, Biden's fault. Nobody, but nobody
talks about the Canadian border. Nobody, but nobody talks about Florida and all the illegals coming into Florida right under DeSantis' nose. They don't even talk about this. But it's happening as we speak. Yet they want to think that the American public is dumb enough to listen to this lies and BS. The last thing I want to talk on, I'm very involved in Christian leadership groups. I believe that's the answer to all our problems in the world. And there's a bunch of pastors out in California that are demanding, not asking, demanding an assault weapons ban. I want to join them. I think we all got to join them. 66% of Americans want an assault weapons ban. And I agree there's no reason. We can't let this paid minority who's paid to lie to sway these people. They're drinking too much ivermectin out there, I'll tell you right now. Take care and have a good day, Matt. And thanks for the airtime.
Yeah, that's terrific. Terrific stuff. Terrific stuff, and your ministry is terrific. Let me tell you something about what Bill's call for a ban on assault weapons. This is amazing, frankly. This is amazing to me. Well, I guess we're going to a break. Connor has me going to a break. Bill, I'm going to respond to you after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789, but I want to hit the assault weapons. Welcome back to McFlynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789 for call or text. We're going to the lines. Gary of Sussex, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gary of Sussex?
I know you're about to, I was hoping you were going to talk about the assault weapons first, and then I was going to make my comment. But my comment on the assault weapons is I own an AR, and I love to shoot my gun. I shoot it at the range. I don't hunt. I don't like killing animals, but I do like target shooting. The thing is, if you're going to ban a weapon that is used by insane people, if they're still insane and they want to kill little kids or coworkers or postal people or whatever they do, they're still going to do it. They can do it with a 9mm or a 40mm that holds 17 rounds in each magazine. They're going to do it no matter what. It's not the weapon itself. And another thing is these weapons are long. My weapon is like 34 inches long. You can't hide this thing. If you're going to go into a school, if they have protection at the schools with police or resource officers or volunteers, it's very difficult to get to hide something like this. So why punish all the good people when there's only, 20 insane people out there? You're going to go out there and ban my weapon that I enjoy using, and I'm a good person, and I would never even consider aiming it, let alone shooting a human being. What's your opinion, Matt?
Yeah, Gary, thanks. That's a very measured point of view. Let me tell you, I think where you and I differ on that. First of all, I don't differ at all with, I enjoy shooting too. And I remember in the Navy, sometimes we'd be at sea for a long time and not much to do. We'd throw barrels over the fantail and shoot with, I think it was an M16 in those days, but whatever it was. And it was fun. I mean, it really was fun. I enjoyed doing that. However, here's the issue. There are military weapons and there are civilian weapons, in my view. And I know that you wouldn't agree that any civilian should have his own nuclear weapon. Some billionaire wants to buy one. That shouldn't be permitted. And it shouldn't be permitted that he buy chemical or biological weapons. Shouldn't be permitted that he buy a machine gun. Machine guns were outlawed in the 1930s. And believe it or not, there's a way to get one. You have to put in for an extensive request, and there has to be a reason why you want it and all that. And you would agree, and I would agree, that they shouldn't have javelins like they're using to get tanks in Ukraine, or shoulder-held missile launchers that could take down a commercial aircraft if you just rent an apartment near an airport. So we all agree on that. Now, the question is, what is the difference between an AR-15 or an AK-47 or an assault rifle and a machine gun? In fact, if you have an AR-15 and you have a couple of high capacity magazines, you can pump off, what, you know, 60, 90 or 100 rounds pretty quickly, much more devastatingly than you could with a machine gun in the 1930s. My proposal would be to simply list AR-15s, AK-47s, the so-called assault rifles, as military weapons, and they're not purchasable by civilians. Now, that doesn't stop anybody from going down to the range, the firing line. I used to do it with a 45 in the Navy, and I enjoyed that. And I don't know if you ever, I know you have, but a lot of people have never fired a 45. That thing has a kick like a mule. You got to have discipline. You got to respect the weapon. But what is the purpose of someone owning an AR-15 other than target shooting, which I understand? And some people have said, well, why don't you license them to ranges so you can go down and shoot it, but leave it there. But of course, they get stolen, all that. The problem with the present law, Gary, is that there are virtually no background checks, and you can buy them at gun shows on the internet. And a mentally ill or emotionally disturbed 18-year-old boy has absolutely no judgment, none whatsoever. That's why they can't drink till they're 21. They can vote. They didn't, before 1972, they couldn't even vote. Their hormones are running wild. They get angry very easily. Their girlfriend leaves them, whatever. And an AR-15, when you went into that school in Uvalde, the guy did, he decapitated some of the kids with that. He blew them apart so badly they had to identify them by their shoes. The truth is that with Buffalo and Uvalde and Sandy Hook, you have people doing this stuff. Now, you're right. They could do it with a knife. They could do it with a 45. They could do it with something. But, you know, to go in with a pistol, they are not going to kill as many people. This is just a military weapon. And so I believe strongly in the Second Amendment. And I've said this before, and it'll come to a surprise as a price for a lot of people on this program. The Second Amendment was a liberal amendment. What do I mean by that? In the Middle Ages, you were forbidden, unless you were an aristocrat, to own a sword. If you were a peasant or a working man, you had a sword. Some places they put you to death because the king did not want the average person rising up against him if he was very cruel. Well, George Washington took care of business. He got rid of a king, and he could have been a king himself, and he chose not to do it. So when he said in the Second Amendment, right after the First Amendment, the people, because you need a well-regulated militia, the people have a right to bear arms, keep their own weapons, he did not want a tyrant coming in and disarming people, and neither do I. But I don't want him with nuclear weapons, biological, chemical, machine guns. I don't want them with shoulder-held missile launchers, stingers, javelins. Don't want any of that. So where do you draw the line? It's really drawing the line. I think it's a pretty easy line to draw. You draw it at assault rifles. The other reason I say that, Gary, is because in 1994, they were banned by Congress. When Bill Clinton was president, they were banned for 10 years. But it sunsetted in 04, and they wouldn't renew it because the Republicans had then taken over. And suddenly, a mentally ill guy can go in and buy it. Now, this particular bipartisan bill is, in my opinion, it's not exactly a joke, but it doesn't do anything. Mitch McConnell just signed on to it, so that's considered a great thing. Maybe it'll get 10 votes to get rid of the filibuster. And it got rid of the boyfriend loophole. What is that, you may ask? The boyfriend loophole. Believe it or not, if you had a domestic violence issue and somebody was married to you, lived with you, or had a child with you, he could be prohibited as part of his sentence from owning a weapon, so he couldn't kill you. But it excluded people who you weren't living with but dating. Well, a lot of these murders have occurred by men who are dating women. They get jealous. The woman goes with someone else, and they beat her and threaten to kill her, and you can't keep him from getting a weapon. Well, now you can under this thing. And it also provides that an 18-year-old can still buy an AR-15, but you get to look at his, you get to look at what? At his juvenile record. Well, the guy in Uvalde may not have had a juvenile record.
But he did.
The Republicans refused to raise the age even to 21. And a lot of people like yourself, Gary, who like target shooting, might say, well, 21 is a reasonable age. I mean, for the love of Pete, why should an 18-year-old get one? And guys would go, well, they have constitutional rights. Well, they should to drink, too, and they can't. And they should to vote, too, and they couldn't until 1972. The idea is that they have bad judgment when it comes to something that's more lethal than a machine gun. So those are my thoughts, and I respect your opinion. You're a principal conservative. I enjoy your calling in. This show is open to everybody, and you really contribute. And so that's my position, and I join you. And I like firing semi-automatic, but I like firing them at the firing range. But the problem is not everybody's like you and me. That's the problem. Thank you very much. We're going to the next one. It'll be in order. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Mark from the SAC? Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thank you very much. Okay, Connor, can you turn the sound up? I can't hear Mark from the SAC. Mark?
That it's some from you brought up some good points this morning. You know, that apparently some of these Republicans, you know, can't tell the truth unless they're under oath. Otherwise, they're just going to lie consistently. And we got to bring that up. And this clown that said his wife was giving birth, if he was lying about that, then he should be brought up on charges. And also, in a book I have on, you know, from back when I was a kid, back when I was 16 years old, and got this book from the Outdoor Life Book Club. It was defined assault rifle, but it closes out, some assault rifles are produced only in semi-automatic form for sale as sporting arms. They are excellent for use on military-style target, but have little application in hunting. And this is from the Outdoor Life Book Club, which was probably approved by the NRA back at that time in 1974. But now the NRA apparently thinks everybody and their brother should have one of these things. And maybe the solution is yes, they can keep the AR-15s, but maybe they should just say, no, you got to turn your large capacity magazines in for a 10-round magazine.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because anybody out there who hunts, you go hunting turkey with an AR-15, there can be nothing but feathers. You hunt a deer with an AR-15, there's going to be nothing but their hooves. So, that's an excellent point. And the truth is the NRA backed the ban in 94. The NRA has gotten much more extreme. We're going back to the lines. Diallo of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Diallo?
Yeah, a couple of things quick, Matt. First one is, can you clarify afterward what's in the proposal about 21 years old and the background check? Does that mean beyond 21 years old, there's no background check? That's one thing. The second thing is the rate of this mass shooting is through the roof in the United States. We have to face that. And the question is, and Ted Cruz couldn't answer, why is that the case only in the United States? We have to look at it that way and try to find a solution to it. Why the United States is exceptional in that order also? Why? If you can also explain the 21-year-old background check that they're talking about now. Thanks.
Excellent point. Two very fine points. To answer your first question, the Republicans resisted increasing it to 21. They were told to and asked to, and they wouldn't do it. When it comes to background checks, they are not requiring anything other than permitting 18 to 21-year-olds to have their juvenile records reviewed. And that's only if you go to a registered gun store. They do background checks. But you can still, under this bill, go to a gun show, and there are guys that go around and they meet in a parking lot somewhere, a field, and you can buy anything you want and it's legal, and you can buy it over the internet, and you can buy it. Guy comes up to you in a bar and says, you want to buy an AR-15, which he probably stole. I'll give it to you for $200. You can do it. So letting them search juvenile records is, you know, yeah, I mean, that's okay. But I mean, a lot of these people, I don't know if all of them had juvenile records, and that's all it does. The other thing is you know, we have 4% of the population of the world in this country, and we have by far the vast majority of these mass shootings. Now, in some countries, you can't have a gun, and I don't agree with that either, because under the Second Amendment, building on the oppression of monarchs, of kings in the Middle Ages, there's a liberal amendment, in my view. But there's a difference between that, being able to defend yourself, and being able to commit mass murder. And we do not permit nuclear weapons, biological, chemical, machine guns, bazookas, shoulder-held missile launchers. And all you do is say, this is functionally a machine gun. I mean, functionally, if you had an AR-15 with a large capacity magazine and a 1935-era machine gun, you're better off the AR-15. So why are they not classified as military weapons? And for that reason, without getting into the weeds about all this stuff, say we don't want military weapons in civilian hands, because we don't. And so we have several mass shootings a day in some cases. We've had more than one a day since January 1, and people are getting immune to it. And they're not all 19 people and 21 people, but sometimes they're two or three. Guy gets fired from his job. Guy gets jilted by his girlfriend. Guy's depressed, or guy wants to commit some kind of crime to become famous, and they go into a school. You know, they never go into an NRA meeting because they don't let you have weapons in an NRA meeting. Did you know that? They disarm you. They disarm you. And you know something? In the military, you're on a base. You can't have your weapon with you if you are under the rank of sergeant, sergeant and under. The officers can have sidearms, but the rest can't have weapons that they have access to in the military. Why is that? Because they're trained on them, and you should use them for military targets. Here's my advice to a lot of people. I've given it to all my own nieces and nephews. Join the Army. Join the Navy. You're a kid. Go in. Fire these weapons. You'll come to appreciate them, and you'll get it out of your system. But don't swagger in at 18. You're emotionally disturbed and angry and buy an AR-15. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open. Calls or text, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you, Texas is up to its old tricks again. We're just talking about guns. There is a loophole in Texas law they look like they're exploiting that will prevent the release of any information about the Uvalde shooting. What do I mean by that? There were officers in the hallway for an hour while kids were getting killed inside. They were sending out these desperate 9/11 messages. You could hear the shots, and the officers chickened out and they ran down the hallway. They ran down the hallway to save themselves. They didn't burst open the door, shoot open the door, go after the guy and stop him. Well, now you know what they're saying is this. There is a quirk, and I don't know the reason for it. I can guess the reason for it in Texas law that says that information about a killing can be released if someone has been convicted of it. But if no one's been convicted of it, it can't be released. Well, how about when the guy's killed? The guy's dead. Not going to be convicted. And they go, well, he hasn't been convicted, so we're not going to tell you about it. The reason for doing it in the past is if you had a murder and the guy's on the loose somewhere and you're searching for him, you don't want to give out info, that would tip him off. I get that. But here the guy is dead. He's met his ultimate judge. He's dead. He killed 19 kids and a couple of teachers. And they go, well, he hasn't been convicted. This is Texas, of course. He hasn't been convicted, so we're not going to tell you about the chicken hawks that avoided their responsibility. This is outrageous, absolutely outrageous, absolutely outrageous. And the problem is you go to federal court and try to get overturned, but if there's a state law, the federal laws don't, courts don't go around making state law. This is very sick. It's a sick political culture down there. There's some very good people down there, in Austin and elsewhere. But my God, I mean, these people, to do that and not give closure to those parents is wrong. It's very wrong. A foreign policy issue that is important, that has avoided scrutiny, and it has a very easy solution. Boris Johnson of Britain now says he's proceeding to rip up his trade agreement with the EU, which he needs for Britain's survival, and he's going to impose a hard border with Southern Ireland, just like during the Troubles. This is a disgusting thing. Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi have said, well, we're not going to have a trade agreement with Britain if they do that. Boris Johnson's doing it because he almost got thrown out of office. He survived, but he's very weak. He has a foreign secretary named Liz Truss who wants to be prime minister, and she's even more hawkish than Boris Johnson. They are willing to reinstigate troubles in Ireland to somehow appeal to a handful of unionist MPs, members of parliament. This is absolutely disgusting. And here is the solution. There can be no hard border with Ireland anymore. Ireland is Ireland. Europe is Europe. Everybody should go wherever they want in Europe. They should be able to trade wherever they want. Brexit was a fake. It did not have to be called, the vote. When it was called, Russia interfered. Donald Trump egged them on. You've got to overturn Brexit, and you can do it. Simply the prime minister can do it. You don't even need the parliament. Politically, you may think you need the parliament. Maybe you do politically, but not constitutionally. By the way, their constitution was never written down. How do you like them bananas? We have a constitution. They have one, and it's in everybody's memory. It's like a nose of wax. You just twist the nose a little bit. But they're our ally, and Boris Johnson's been very good, much better than France and Germany, in standing up to Putin. So we need him. So what is the solution? Britain, get back in the EU. That's where you belong. Then everybody's in the EU, and they can travel wherever you want, and there's no hard borders anywhere. Going to the lines for one last call. Paul, we have about a minute, a little over. Paul of Madison, what's in your mind today?
Hey, I'll make this call. I'm not even going to dive into the gun thing. At least they're trying to do something. But, hey, as far as you mentioned Joe Biden, he's going to Saudi Arabia. So maybe he can strike a deal for some oil, because when I run around, that's the biggest thing I hear about, gas. So I just wanted to get your take on that this morning, Matt, quickly. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Wisco Paul. Here's the deal, Wisco Paul. He is going there. I think that certainly in private, we should be a little tougher with Saudi Arabia. They depend on us, for Pete's sake. In Yemen, we've supplied them weapons. The Yemen Houthis have attacked Saudi Arabia directly and its oil capacity, and we have helped defend them. We put troops in Saudi Arabia, and they thumb their nose at us. You say to the Saudi guy, hey, look, guy, yeah, you murdered Khashoggi with a chainsaw, which is pretty nasty, pretty poor, very poor. That's your culture over here. We don't want your culture. But your oil, you better pump it up, because the Ruskies are pumping it into Germany at high wages and they are high prices, and they are using that money to kill Ukrainians. I think you take them to the woodshed in private, Paul. Thanks for calling in. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers. Got everything corrected. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.